Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chof Tes, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Chof Ches Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. As we learned, Baruch Hashem, in our previous shiur, the Gemara quoted five different times where the halacha follows the where Rabbi Abba paskened different shailas. Says the Gemara, Darish Mazut Meshmeder of Simi Barashi, Hichsab K'b'chol HaNishmaitza, the halacha follows in all these different subjects that we discussed. K'd'shalach le Rab Abba le Rab Yosef B'chama, as Rab Abba indeed ruled when he told Rab Yosef B'chama what his position was. Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi, asked Ravina le Rav Ashi, how could you make such a statement? Rav Nachman Mai, what will we do with the disagreement we had between Rab Abba and Rav Nachman? For we learned in the previous year, one of the rulings Rav Abba made was that we know that the Torah is makish avodim lekakos. The Torah equates slaves to property in many different areas. And Rav Abba said that includes the situation that we have discussed many times, that every time a loan is made, one's property is mortgaged to the loan. So Rav Abba says, if avodim are compared to karka, so too is there a shibud, is there a mortgage on one's avodim when a loan is made. Rav Nachman, as we learned in the previous year, said no, that even though the Torah compares indeed avodim to karkos, that's regarding kinyonim, that the various methods of kinyonim that are effective for karka are also effective for avodim, but not regarding shibud. Shibud, Rav Nachman told us, we don't treat avodim like we treat karka. So now ask the Gemara, if we're saying that we always follow the opinion of Rav Abba, and this subject that we just discussed, Rav Abba and Rav Nachman are in disagreement, we have a real issue. Because we also know throughout Shas that we always follow the opinion of Rav Nachman in Dinei Mamnis. So how can we say that we follow the opinion of Abba and at the same time always follow the opinion of Rav Nachman? Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi, the Rav Nachman Mai, how will we reconcile Rav Abba saying that we follow the opinion of Abba and also say that we follow the opinion of Rav Nachman? Amalei, so he says, the way to reconcile it is to change what we learned in the previous year. Not to say that Rav Abba holds that one has a mortgage on slaves, rather, ain't goyve masnin law. The halacha is that one does not have a mortgage on slaves. And chein amar Rav Nachman, and therefore it turns out that Rav Nachman and Rav Abba are in perfect agreement, and that is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Ela hechusel afukimai. If we began our shiur today telling us, that we always follow the opinion of Rav Nachman, what the Gemara must be coming to teach us is that we would think that we don't follow that opinion. There is a strong opposing opinion, yet we're going to follow the opinion of Rav Nachman. Regarding what issue that Rav Nachman discussed in these seven subjects that he discussed, is this relevant? Ila fuki midarava, if we're going to say, as we learned, the Rav Nachman says that a shlishi b'sheni, Rav Nachman says that a third generation, second generation, as we described in our previous year, according to Rav Nachman, first cousins once removed could say edus for each other. And Rava said that not only can first cousins once removed say edus, but even one could say edus for a great uncle. Asked the Gemara Maisef who? Who says that Rav Abba disagrees with Rava? Rav Abba wasn't discussing that subject. Rav Abba was discussing the subject of Shlishi B'Sheni, and Rav Abba taught us that that is a situation where Edus can be offered. Came Rava to discuss a different situation, and Rava spoke about a case of a great uncle, but not that there's any disagreement. And as the Shamat Tzion Balach explains, Rav Abba, and we'll appreciate this more in tomorrow's shir, Rav Abba was paskening, as we said in the previous year, halacha lemaisa, questions that actually
came to him. And the question that was posed to him was a situation of Shlishi B'Sheni. And he paskened that we follow that Shlishi B'Sheni is kosher. That's all he spoke about, because there's a special siyata d'shmaya that's given to someone who paskens a shayla that's relevant. Rava, the question that Rava speaks about, a Shlishi B'Rishon, wasn't the subject that Rav Abba was ever discussing. But it could well be that Rav Abba agrees with Rava. Other Mefarshim explain that even if we don't follow the opinion of Rava, for as we learned in our previous year, the Rama says, L'chatchila, we don't agree with Rava. L'chatchila, one should not say Edis for Shlishi B'Rishon. One should not use a great uncle, should not say Edis. Still, it's not the subject that Rav Abba was speaking about, that when we say Hilchasik Rav Abba, when we began today Shir saying that we follow the opinion of Abba, we're coming to say that we don't follow the opinion of Rava, because Rav Abba was never speaking about that subject. On the other hand, we also learned the Ma'abar of Ashi. The Ma'abar of Ashi said that not only may one say Edis for a great uncle, because it's a situation of Shlishi B'Rishon, Mamaber Rav Ashi said one could say Edis even for a grandfather. That too is not to say that Rav Abba is saying differently, because Las Hilchas Kamaber Rav Ashi, we don't follow the opinion of Rav Ashi. So certainly that's not what we're trying to say when we say Hilchas Kerav Abba. And as Rajban points out, the Gemara could have said, as it said a moment ago, that the reason we don't understand Hilchas Kerav Abba to mean that Rav Abba's arguing, that Rav Abba's coming to exclude the din of Ma'abar Rav Ashi, because Rav Abba and Ma'abar Rav Ashi weren't speaking about the same subject, Moisefu, the Gemara could have actually said the same teretz. The reason the Gemara didn't say it, says the Rajbam, because the Gemara wanted to say a stronger vort that the halacha doesn't follow Rav Ashi. E, lafukim v'dishmul Rav Sheshes Rav Papa, as we also discussed in the previous year, Rav Abba is of the opinion, at least the way we understood it, according to the opinion of the Rajbam, that someone who's blind is inherently disqualified from saying Edis. Shmuel said he could say Edis regarding a field. Rav Sheshes said he could even say Edis regarding an article of clothing. Rav Papa said he could even say Edis regarding a bar of metal. So is that the point that we're trying to say, that we follow opinion of Rav Abba versus all these other mandamrim? Says Nomar, again, that can't be the point in saying Hilchasuk Rav Abba. Because he taisvu, all of these opinions were anyway already refuted in our previous year. So we don't need to say Hilchasuk to exclude that opinion. Ella, lefukim et Rav Yochanan. We had a machloikis. Do we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda regarding Yakir, who we have been learning gives the father very strong authority to identify his son as a Bechor, even if we've till now assumed a different son as a Bechor? Rabbi Yehuda gives a father a right to say Zeb Bini Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that his child is apostle. Rabbi Yochanan, however, paskins like the Rabbanan, that don't give Yakir such wide-reaching authority. Says the Gemara, by saying Hilchasuk Rav Abba, we're saying that we don't agree with Rabbi Yochanan, who follows the opinion of the Chachamim. Rather, we follow the opinion of Abba, who follows the opinion of Yehuda. And also, after the Ma'abar of Ashi, we learned in the last subject that Rav Abba discussed, where someone says, I owe you still half the money. And the Gemara said that it's considered a situation, Rav Abba said it's considered a situation of might of a mitzvah that he has to swear. Ma'abar of Ashi asked that perhaps it should not be considered a situation of Maida B'Mitzis. Rather, it should be considered a situation of Meshiv Aveda, because this person has Edim who are supporting and saying actually that he paid off the entire loan. So when he says that I didn't pay off the entire loan, I still owe half the obligation, certainly he should be believed without a Shavuah. So therefore, Ma'abar of Ashi said that he doesn't have to make a Shavuah. But as we explain, Rav Abba's position is that since when he made the statement that he still owes half the obligation, he wasn't aware what the Eidim will be saying, and therefore he's not considered a Meisha of Aveda, he's rather considered a Moed of a Mixus, and the Shvua is an order. We learned in the Mishnah on daf kuf chav vav amabez. Hamachalak nechos vapiv ribel echod amid lechod. The Mishnah discusses if one, and that'll be a subject that we will discuss in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow, Shir, the machloikis of the Chachomim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, if one could give one of his Yarshim a larger portion versus the other Yarshim. But then the Mishnah went on to teach us that this discussion is only when one uses the wording of Yerusha. For when one uses the wording of Yerusha, he has to be indeed following the halachas of Yerusha. But if somebody in his phraseology uses the word matana, and as the Mishnah was very clear in its wording at the end of the Mishnah, kasav ben betchila ben beemtza ben besoif mishum matana, if anywhere in his wording he uses the word matana, so a gift can be given to anyone I want, as long as it's going to be effective while the giver is still alive, their halacha is Dvar of Kayamim. Even the Rabbanim will say that this is an effective transaction. So ask the Gemara. The Mishnah said, if he used the word matan at any point of his statement, betchila be'emtz b'soif, it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, heichidam matan betchila, heichidam be'emtz, heichidam b'soif. What is the situation that it's effective? Kiyosar of Dimi, Amar of Yochanan, Tanasin Sada Ploinis Leploini Vyurusha. If somebody says, if he begins with the word Matana, and then even though he ends with the word Yerusha, Zui Matana Betchila. That's when he used the word matana at the beginning of a statement, and it's treated as a gift, not as a Yerusha, and it will be effective no matter who you give it to. If you use the words Yerusha v'tinasala, first he started the word Yerusha, and then he said the word matana, zuhi matana besoif, this is the situation where matana was used at the end of the statement, and it will be effective. Machloikis hapaiskim, if for this type of statement to be effective, do you have to have the word, the letter Vav, Vitinosin law, to make it effective? Or even without the Vav Achibur, it will also be effective. Yerusha, Vitinosin law of Yerusha, where he used the word Yerusha at the beginning and at the end, but he had the word Matana in the middle. Zui Matana Be'emsa, this is a situation on Matana Be'emsa, which is also effective. The Mefarshim make an interesting observation. Our Mishnah speaks about Matana Betchila Be'emsa Be'soif. So our Mishnah is going in chronological order, where you use the word Matana, the beginning, the middle, or the end. However, when Rabbi Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan explains the Mishnah, he doesn't follow the same order of the Mishnah. He speaks about the beginning, about the end, and about the middle. Because the way to understand Rav Dimi is Rav Dimi is not following the chronological order, but rather he's following what is considered the smaller chiddush up to the biggest chiddush. Certainly when you began your statement with the word matana, we could understand that you mean a matana. The next case is, you didn't begin with Matana, but you only spoke about Yerusha and Matana. And again, therefore, we could understand why it's considered a Matana. In the last case, you began your statement with Yerusha. You ended your statement with Yerusha. So I would think, even though you mentioned Matana in the middle, it should not have the classification of a Matana. Teaches us of Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan that if at any point the word Matana was used, it has the status of Matana. And again, here too, the Mepaiskim will debate if you have to have the Vav in the middle for it to be effective. Says the Gemara, that when, says Rav Dimi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, is the halacha that if you use the word Matana, it will be treated as Matana, and therefore be effective no matter who is the recipient? Dafka ba'adam echad b'stei echad. If you're giving one field
to one individual, and you use both the language of Yerusha and Matana, we treat it as a Matana. But let's say we'll have a situation of Adam Echad Ushtei Sadas, one person, and I give him two fields, and for one field I use the word Yerusha, and for one field I use the word Matana, or Sadakas, I have one field, but I'm giving that field to Shtei Bnei Adam, to two different people, and to one person I gave his part of the field with a wording of Yerusha, and to one person I gave his part of the field with the wording of Matana. Loi, the person who got a Yerusha, it's effective. The person who got a Matana, it's effective. The person who got it as a Yerusha, it will not be effective. Rav Elazar Omer, Rav Elazar disagrees, and he says, Afila Adam Echad v'shtei sadas, if you gave it to one person, two fields, but you used the word Matana in any part of your statement, or you gave Sada Echas v'shnei bnei Adam, one field to two people, again, if you use the word Matana in any part of your statement, that will create that this entire situation, this entire transaction is viewed as a Matana and will therefore be effective. Av b'shtei sadas shnei bnei adam. Rabbi Lozad agrees that if you said two people and two fields, and one it was given as a Matana and one it was given as Yerusha, Rabbi Lozad will agree that even though they was both done at the same time, still it's not going to be, we will not take that into consideration, rather we're going to separate it and we're going to treat it as two separate situations, and one will be a Matana and one will be a Yerusha. Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Ravan Amar, when Ravan came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, he said the following: Tanasin sada ploinis leploini, v'yirash ploini sada ploinis. If somebody says this field should be given to someone as a matana, and this field should be given as Yerusha, Rabbi Yochanan amakana. Rabbi Yochanan says it's effective. Rabbi Elazar amaloikana, it's not effective. Amay Abaye l'Ravin, is enachslan chada. In one respect, the statement is very understandable. On the other hand, this is a difficult statement to understand. And the Gemara explains. Bishlam Rabbi Lazar, there's no question, like Kasha. Because when will, according to Rabbi Lazar, it be effective in a situation, Badam Echad Ushtei Sadas, one person and one field, and one person and two fields, or two people and one field? Rabbi Lazar will say that since the word Matana was used as part of my phraseology, it will be treated as a Matana. Here, however, where it's Kam B'Shnei Adam B'Shtei Sadas, there Rabbi Lazar will say the Matana is a Matana and it's effective, the Yerusha is not effective. In fact, the Rishonim ask, we need to understand what Abai is saying to Rabbi Lazar is like Kasha. Obviously, Rabbi Lazar is not a problem, because everything we just said, Rabbi Lazar, when the Gemara quoted his opinion, said it explicitly. The Rabbi Lazar says, "Ba'adam echad v'shtei sadas, u'shtei sadas ba'adam echad, it will be effective; otherwise, it will not be effective. And v'shtei sadas v'shnei bnei adam, it will not be effective." So, what's Abaye coming to teach us? And because of this question, there are gesos that in the previous Gemara, where the opinion of Rabbi Lazar was cited, the Gemara doesn't explicitly say Avol Shtei Sadas Uvshnei Bnei Adam Loi, because if Rabbi Lazar already said it explicitly, I don't need to add. This Gemara is not adding anything that we didn't already know. Other Rishonim say that even if we maintain the Girsa in the previous piece of Gemara, the reason the Gemara is repeating all of this, even though there's nothing new that we don't know in Rabbi Lazar's opinion, is because the Gemara is going to contrast that even though Rabbi Lazar's opinion is very easy to understand, we do have a difficulty in understanding Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Ad Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. We have a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rav Dimi, Rabbi Yochanan holds
that only the word matana only is acceptable where there's one person and one field. Whereas according to Ravin, Rabbi Yochanan holds that even two people and two fields, Rabbi Yochanan will hold that it's effective. And it says the Gemara, Amaroyim in Uvalib to Rabbi Yochanan. There's Machlaikis Amaroyim, what is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? One opinion has Rabbi Yochanan being Mekel, even B'shtei Sodus B'shtei Bnei Adam, the other doesn't. Machlaikis Rav Dimi and Ravin, how to understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So I saw that the Mefarshim, we always understand, Amaroyim in Uvalib to Rabbi Yochanan. There's Machlaikis Amaroyim, what is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? But the difficulty with following such an approach, explained the Mefarshim, is that it turns out that one of the Amoraim completely misquoted his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. So I saw the Mefarshim point out a very interesting explanation. Rabbi Yochanan said a shir. He never spoke about the situation of Shnei Sodus Shnei Bnei Adam. The Talmidim, the Amoraim, who heard their Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan's shir, started to try to understand the Rebbe's shir. V'amoraininu, they came to different conclusions of what their Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, would hold in that situation. But not that they explicitly heard that the Rebbe say something, and then they argued what did he or didn't he say. Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish. So far we've had three opinions. We've had Rav Dimi's opinion in Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Elazar's opinion, and Ravin's opinion in Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara sets a fourth opinion that holds that by two fields and two people, sometimes it will be valid and sometimes it will not be valid. Rabbi Rish Lakish Amar, if it's a situation of Shtei Sodus or Shnei Bnei Adam, Loikana, it will not be treated as a Matana, Achiyomer, until it's explicitly said, Pliny u Pliny, Yirshu Soda Plinus u Plinus, Shnesati Lembe Matana v'Yirshim. Specifically, when such language is used, then and only then, even though it's two people and two fields, will it be treated as a Matana and will be effective. Otherwise, it will not be. And here we have a Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand Rish Lakish's ruling. The Rashbam and many Rishonim are of the opinion that specifically when this language that the Gemara just quoted was used, if it's a situation of Shnei Sodus and Shnei Bnei Adam, will it be considered a Matana? Any other situation will not be considered as a Matana. The problem with that approach is that our Mishnah, so specifically when the word matana was used in the middle of the two phrases. The problem with this approach, asked the Rimi Gash, is that our Mishnah says that using the word matana is effective and according to this understanding, according to the Rashbam's understanding, it's only effective when it's used be'emtza. And because of that, the Rimi Gash says that even though the Gemara gave this example in understanding Rish Lakish's opinion when it's effective, Shnei Sodus, Shnei Bnei Adam, we're not limited to that situation. Even if you wrote it at the beginning or the end, it will be effective. How do we understand the opinion of the Rashbam? They say as follows. Yes, our Mishnah says that using the word Matana Bein Betchila Bein Be'emtza Bein Besoif is effective. But that's not in the situation of Shtei Sodus and Shnei Bnei Adam. If it's a situation of Shtei Sodus and Shnei Bnei Adam, which as we have been explaining, certainly seems to be two separate transactions, certainly perhaps in that situation, we have to be stricter and only treat it as a matana in a situation where wording that was specifically used in our Gemara was used. Beplukta. So it says, actually, this machloikis tanoim is based on another machloikis. Amrafuna. Loishana is already learnt. Loishana, When do we say that if the word matana is used is effective? Only in situation of Adam Echad v'Sada Echas. Aval Adam Echad v'Shtei Sadas, or Sada Achas v'Shnei Bnei Adam, loy. It will not be effective. In other words, Rav Hamnuna is following the opinion that was said by Rav Dimi as being the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Rav Nachman Amar, Afil Adam Echad v'Shtei Sadas, or stay sada achas shnei bnei adam. If you use the word matana, it will be effective. Av stay sada shnei bnei adam loy. Rav Nachman is agreeing with Rav Elazar. Rav Sheshes Amar, afil stay sada shnei bnei adam. It will be effective if you use the word matana, as Rav Yochanan's opinion said by Ravin. Amar Rav Sheshes says Rav Sheshes. From where do we know that if you use the word matana, even in any situation, even if it's shtei sada shnei bnei adam, it's going to be effective? The Tanya. We learned a braisa. Somebody, as the Rishonim explained, is Rachmana Litzlan, a shchimera. And as he's a shchimera, he says the following: Tanu shekel abonei b'shabbos. A shekel is a half a seller. And he says, I want my children, after I pass away, to get an allowance of a shekel a week. The Mefarshim debate had to understand the statement. Does he mean to say all of my children should get one shekel to be shared? Or does he mean that each one of my children should get a shekel? Doesn't make a difference to how we're going to learn the Gemara. And it's a situation where a shekel is just not enough for them to live. For ruling litilam seller, they need a seller to live. The halacha is noisilam seller, we give them a seller. And we say that this that the father said, that they should only get a shekel a week, he meant to be teaching them that they should be frugal, they should be careful in the money they spend. In Omar, he said, al titn lehem el shekel, only give a shekel, then ein noisilam el shekel. We only give them a shekel. And the Mefarshim point, the Rishonim debate, why would be the halacha if a shekel is not enough for them to survive on? Rashi's opinion is that if they can't make it on a shekel, they should take from tzedakah. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is we start them off with a shekel to get them accustomed to live in a limited fashion. But once it turns out to a situation where they can't make it, we give them start giving them a seller. The Shita says that we give them a seller. But again, what we say is that the father, even though he used a stronger language, all he meant was to teach them that they have to be careful with their money. But certainly, if they can't make it, we'll give them a seller. Actually, the Mefarshim ask, according to the opinion of Rashi, that says that if they can't make it on a shekel, we give them the difference from tzedakah. The Gemara says in Masechet Ksubos that somebody who says that if I die, I don't want my assets, my estate, to be used to bury me, we should take from tzedakah. The halacha is we don't listen to what he says. Because if he, Baruch Hashem, had his own money to pay for his funeral, we don't take from tzedakah. So why over here does Rashi say if the father gave such instructions and it isn't enough for him to live, we give from tzedakah? So Mefarshim answer that there it's talking about the person himself. Here we're not talking about the person himself. We're talking about his children. Another answer is, we need to understand, says the Sefer Magen Geboyrim, is a shekel enough to live on, or is a shekel not enough to live on? The answer is, obviously a shekel is enough to live on. Just children who have become accustomed to live a certain lifestyle, people who have become accustomed to live a certain lifestyle, it's hard for them to change so drastically. That, and the halacha is, when we take from tzedakah, we give tzedakah according to a person's needs, not according to the general population. And therefore here, since this person needs this amount of money, we give them from tzedakah the shekel. However, continues the Braisa, v'mamar, if the father said, imesu, when these children die, yirshu acheim techteim, there will be other yarshim, bein sham etnu, bein sham al tetnu, whatever language was used, their halach is ein nisul mal shekel, we only give them a shekel. Because since he wanted the rest of the estate to go to these other people, we have to follow his language. Ask the Gemara. V'hocha. This situation is like a situation of steis sadas u'shnei b'nei adam. One part is a gift, the shekel, and one part is a yerusha, v'ktani, and the Braisa says, the kani, that it's valid. So we see from here that even though it's steis sadas u'shnei b'nei adam, the part that he's giving a shekel a week is a matana. The part that he's giving as a Yerusha is a Yerusha. And yet we see that it's effective. Answers the Gemara, who most love, whom a Farakloi, but royally Yarsha. The entire discussion that we've been having in our shir is where you need to use the word Matana rather than the word Yerusha is only in a situation where the person isn't his Yairish. And since the person is not my Yairish, I have to use the word matana, but to make it effective. But we learned, and we will learn, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breike, that if somebody is a Yairish of mine, even though he's only supposed to get a portion of the Yerusha, Rabbi Yochanan Breike's opinion is, I could give him the entire Yerusha. And that's the case here. He said that my children should get a shekel a week, and the rest should go to my Yairish, to one of my Yarshim, one of my legitimate Yarshim, which is an effective means of using Yerusha. So we don't have a problem here, says the Gemara, that how could I use the word Yerusha when the word Yerusha is inapplicable and it can't be used because the situation stays Sadr Shnei B'nei Adam. Because even though it's Shnei Sadr Shnei B'nei Adam, here the word Yerusha is an appropriate wording because he's speaking to a Yairish. And if he's speaking to a Yairish, you could use the word Yerusha and it'll be effective. Amar Vashi. So the Gemara tries to prove Rashi Yosi's opinion from a different source. Toshma. If somebody says, Nechasai Lecha, my property should go to you, Vachrecha Yerushaplani, and after you die, somebody else should inherit my property, not your Yarshim. Vachrecha, and after that person passes away, Yerushaplani, another person, not that second person's Yarshim should get the property, rather the third person should get the property. So Allah is, Meis Rishon, when the first person dies, Kana Sheni. Meis Sheni, when the second person dies, Kana Shlishi. V'Meis Sheni B'Chai Rishon, if the second person died before the first person died, Yachsu N'Chasim L'Yarshi Rishon, then the properties will go to the Yarshim of the first person, and not to the third person. Ask the Gemara, V'hocha, isn't this a situation of Shtei Sadas Shnei B'nei Adam Dami? The situation of the estate being awarded to two separate parties, the first beneficiary and the second beneficiary, and it's viewed as two separate gifts. The first is what's given to the first person, and the remainder, which is a separate gift, is being given to the third person. So this is a situation of Shtei Sadas u'Shnei B'nei Adam. One is described as a gift, and one is being described as a Yerusha, and yet V'Ktani D'Ktana. Yet the Braisa says that this is completely effective. So again, isn't this a raya that even in a situation of Shnei Sadas u'Shnei B'nei Adam, if you use the word Matana anywhere, it's going to be effective? You're going to say, we'll give the same answer that we gave a moment ago. Hachinami, it's referring to a situation of royal Yarshai, that the second person, the third person, are all Yarshim of the person who's making this will. And since they're all Yarshim of the person who's making the will, we're following the opinion of Rav Yochanan Breike, And Rabbi Yochanan Breiker's opinion is that you could use the word Yerusha because they indeed Yerushim, and we don't have to rely on the word Matana that was used somewhere in the statement, because I don't need to rely on the word Matana. They're real Yerushim. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if we're referring here to people who are real Yerushim, why is the halacha Meisheni Kana Shlishi, that when the second person dies, then if in the regular case we said the first person, then the second person, then the third person, that the Gemara said, that the Brisa said, that when the second person passes away, the third person gets the remainder. Hashalach Rav Achab Reder of Avya, the Ladivir of Yochanan Breiker. If somebody said Nechase Lecha, if somebody says you should Yarshim my estate, Vachrechen, after you pass away, not your Yarshim should get the remainder of the estate, but rather Leplani should go to somebody else. And the Rishon that he made this statement to is not some stranger, but rather it's an individual who's royally Yarshai, is Ainli Shaini, but Makam Rishon Klum. Then the second one will not get any portion of it. Why? She'ainze Lashon Matana El Lashon Yerusha. Once the word Yerusha was used, rather than the word Matana, Yerusha Ainli Hefsik. And as the Rishonim explain the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, when somebody gives a matana, so it's a gift that I give, and I have a right to give the gift as I see fit. However, when I give a Yerusha is not something that I'm in total control of. Yerusha is bound to the halachas of what the Torah considers a Yerusha. So I can't control what should happen to that money. And since the first person, the first recipient, received it as a Yerusha, the din of Yerusha is that if somebody receives something as Yerusha, when he passes on, his Yarshim receive it. The halacha is therefore that it can't be changed. So we can't explain, says the Gemara, this Braisa to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker. Because if we're going to say that the Brisa is talking about Royal Yashai, then the din that the Brisa says that after the first person dies, the second person gets the remainder. And then when the second person dies, the third person gets the remainder, is inherently untrue. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, if the first person is an individual who's Royal Yashai, when he dies, his Yashim will get it. And not the second person or the third person. So we can't represent the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker. Therefore, what must this Brisa be teaching us? That we're talking about two people, two fields and two people, and even though one part of this transaction was referred to as a Yerusha, since in any part of this transaction the word Matana was used, teaches us the Gemara that if anywhere, as Rav Sheshe said, as Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, if at anywhere in my statement the word matana is used, it turns it into matana without a problem. However, the Rishonim asks, now we need to understand the previous priest of Gemara. The previous priest of Gemara said that if somebody said that a shekel should be given to my children on a weekly basis, and then afterwards the remainder should be given to a Yairish, so the Gemara explained that according to Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, we follow that instruction. But we also explained that Gemara is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiker, that the first person is an individual who is royally Yarshai. Didn't our Gemara teach us that when it's a person who's royally Yarshai, the Gemara just said, Ein Lai Hefsek, answers the Rimigash, that when do we say Yerusha Ein Lai Hefsek? Is when the person gave the first, when the Myrish gave the Yairish all of his estate. So there we say the concept of Yerusha Ein Lai Hefsek, and when the first recipient will pass away, he will give it over to his Yarshim, not to the second person. Here he only gave a part of his estate. Since he only gave part of his estate, it doesn't apply. Another teretz that the Ravid suggests is that here it didn't go directly from the father to the Yairish, rather went to an apotropos. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben Breiker will agree that we don't say the concept of Yerusha Ein Lo Hefsek under such circumstances. But ask the Gemara. We've been having a debate since the beginning of our shir. What is the halacha? B'shtei sodas u'shnei bnei odom. And the word matana was used in any part of this transaction. Will it be treated as a matana? Will it not be treated as a matana? Shouldn't this price that we just finished explaining be a clear refutation to anybody that disagrees? Rish Lakish primarily, that says shtei sodas u'shnei bnei odom are not treated like a matana. To yufta de kula, isn't this a refutation to yufta? And Leim and Namit have it to Yufta Rish Lakish. Isn't this a reputation to Rish Lakish's opinion also? Answers the Gemara for Tisbara. Rish Lakish's opinion is not necessarily refuted. Because for Amar Rava, how can we refute Rish Lakish's opinion? Didn't Rava teach us the Hilchos HaKafaseid Rish Lakish? We followed the opinion of Rish Lakish, Bahani Tlas, in three different situations. And one of those situations is this Gemara, where we follow the Pesach of Rish Lakish, that Shtei Sodas and Shtei Bnei Adam are considered two separate phrases, and using Matana in one isn't effective for the other? Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. P'toich Kdei Dibur can Lach Kdei Dibur. There's enough Gemina if he used the word Matana, P'toich Kdei Dibur, within the time it says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Rish Lakish will agree where it was, if one is said as a matana and one was said as a Yerusha, but these two phrases were made toich kdei dibur, then both are valid. Whereas if they're not made toich kdei dibur, then it's not valid. Now the Rishonim debate. We also had other opinions. We had other opinion that were saying that sometimes the word matana in one phrase is effective and sometimes it's not effective. Will we say that just like the Gemara now answered, there's a nafka mina if it was said toich kdei dibur or not toich kdei dibur, will be a way to defend those opinions or not? Some Rishonim suggest absolutely that just like this was a way to defend Rish Lakish's opinion, similarly, this is a way to defend the opinion of those Rishonim, the opinion of Rav Dimi and Rav Elazar. Other Rishonim say that no, that's only a way to defend the opinion of Rish Lakish, but not to defend the opinion of Rav Dimi and Rav Elazar. For they explain, Rish Lakish was making a freestanding statement. Shtei sodas shnei bnei odom. Sometimes it is effective, sometimes it isn't. So now we could qualify and say it depends if it's toich kdei dibur or not toich kdei dibur. Rav Dimi, Rav Elazar were explaining our Mishnah. And if in understanding our Mishnah we need to make a nafka mina between toich kdei dibur or not toich kdei dibur, then the halacha is we have to make such a nafka mina, it should have been said in the Mishnah. Tosfos explains, why is the toich kdei dibur? We know the shir of toich kdei dibur is either the time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri. Why is that acceptable? Tosfos says the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that it's not really midaraisa. The reason Chazal allowed one to change to made an afkamina toich kdei dibur or not toich kdei dibur is that if somebody is in the middle of a business transaction and his Rebbe walks by, he should have the opportunity to greet his Rebbe without it being considered, without forfeiting his right to reverse to the transaction. And the Mefarshim explained, we have this concept by Krishma that one is allowed to greet somebody, even though you're not allowed to stop in middle Krishma, but somebody important. There's a concept of Bnei Shalom, Bnei Ahava, Bnei Yira. But ask Tosfos, if so, the halacha is that somebody mistakenly taught Kriya, believing that his father passed away, and then when he turns out that when he taught Kriya, his father didn't yet die. The Gemara says that if his father dies, toich kdei dibur, or when he taught Kriya, he doesn't have to tear Kriya again. Because it's considered as if he taught Kriya at the time of his father's death, since it was done with Tarkadei Dibur. Ask the Re, Tysus quotes the question of the Re. Here we don't have the concept that somebody's in the middle of a business transaction and needs to be able to get into his Rebbe. Says the Divrei Cheskel and explain. So Tysus says, like plug. Once we learned the concept of Tarkadei Dibur, Chazal don't differentiate. Divrei Cheskel says a different way of understanding the opinion of Rebbeinu Tam. Rebbeinu Cheskel says the Rebbeinu Tam agrees that Tarkadei Dibur is a concept that's effective midaraisa. And therefore, if the kriya was done Tarkadei Dibur of the patira of its father, it's a valid kriya. However, Rebbeinu Tam holds that just because we hold the Tarkadei Dibur is kedibur, it shouldn't allow one to retract from a transaction, because once the transaction takes effect, it's immediately binding. Therefore, Rebbeinu Tam had to add that even though Tarkadei Dibur is considered simultaneous, we needed a Takana D'Rabbanon to allow for it to be effective even to retract from a transaction. Says the Gemara, V'hilchasa, call Tarkadei Dibur Kadibur Dami. The halacha is that whenever you do something Tarkadei Dibur, it's effective. L'vayim v'ayidus k'chavim. If somebody says something is an avayidus zara, the halacha is that he can't retract even Tarkadei Dibur because of the seriousness of the avera avayidus zara. And similarly, if somebody is mekadesh, a woman, and he wants to retract Tarkadei Dibur, it will not be effective. Machloikus Rishonim, why if somebody wants to retract by Kedushin, it's not effective? We have here a Machloikus Rishonim. The Rashbam seems to explain that we're concerned that even though it is a valid retraction, somebody who sees this woman getting married without receiving a get will not know about the man's retraction, and they will think that she is an Eishes Ish and her children are Mamzerim. The Ran says a different explanation. He says, normally, when a person makes a statement, he's not fully committed to his statements until he thinks them over for a few seconds. And therefore, his commitments are not considered final and binding until that time passes. However, Kedushin, because it's a serious matter, we assume that the person is fully committed at the moment he performs the Kedushin, and therefore that act is considered final, and therefore the Kedushin cannot be retracted even Tarkadei Dibur.